3. The present time is 9:01. Those members present are Representative Greenstead, Cowdery, Yearling, and Chairman Furness. We have several pieces of legislation to consider this morning. But first, I'd like to draw your attention to a cleanup from the Board of Medical Examiners. You may recall we had several pieces of legislation that has already... that has already passed the committee. There was some question concerning the report to follow the sunset process, at the end of the sunset process of the Board of Medical Examiners. In the original report, we had made reference to House Bill 230. It's a companion bill that is somewhere in the legislative process. Representative Ringstadt did raise a question of perhaps not making specific reference to that in case that legislation was not ultimately approved. We have redrafted the report, excluding any reference to House Bill 230. You have a copy of that. The chair would accept the motion to pass the report and request your signatures.
No.
Do we have a copy?
The new one is in the one we've done. Passed it out previously. It should be in there.
Do they have a copy of this?
No. Yeah.
Let's turn it in for a second. You do not have the copy of the revised report. I'm sorry, gentlemen. It's my understanding you should have had that. Okay. Let's turn it in for a second.
You're eliminating the referral to any specific pieces of legislation that may or may not pass. I would like to move it that we approve the report as you presented it and move that out of committee.
Okay, we do have a motion to remove the report as amended, and a request of unanimous consent has been requested. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is accepted. The report is approved. And I'll need your signature. The second piece of legislation that you're supposed to take up is the sponsor substitute for House Bill number 22. An act establishing a state residential requirement for loans purchased by the Alaska Industrial Development Authority. Please make note that the sponsor of this legislation, Representative Lindau, is with us. We were given the opportunity at this point to address the legislation. I believe this is one that we did have before the committee one time, and I was proposed to act upon this legislation.
This was taken up a month or so ago. Basic intent of this act is to ensure that the state's limited funds and limited bonding capacity are used primarily to the benefit of Alaskans to establish, in effect, a residency requirement for obtaining these loans. Pretty straightforward, simple bill in one sense. On the other hand, it is a fundamental philosophical bill. It reorients ADA from funding anybody to funding Alaska. Prevents any misuses or abuses that might develop. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions to the sponsor, Dr. Lindau? Ms. Cowdery?
In state affairs, we have a bill that you know of the residency problem that's been a big problem that's had on very much of the bills that we have been trying to deal with that have some sort of residency. Language in it has been somewhat of a sore to try to address it properly. And at this time, the State Affairs Committee, through the coalition, through the majority of the coalition, has just yesterday drafted a bill to address not only this problem, but all the problems of the residency. And I think that it might be appropriate, I don't want to, it's a whole bill or anything, but it might be appropriate till that we, you're on that same committee, that we review that before we make judgment on this bill. So that we give that work session to the time to get it out of the law.
Yeah, I totally disagree with the appropriateness of that act. In fact, I would consider that totally inappropriate for the following reason. That is that we already have residency requirements in all of our legislation throughout. It is true that we are revising residency. We've been doing so for years, and I'm sure that we will continue to revise residency in the years ahead constantly also. This legislation is not attempting to establish what is or what is not a resident. This legislation is attempting to establish who is going to get industrial development authority funding. However residency is established, it very carefully does not say what a resident is. If you wish, based on the testimony which you've heard in the other committee, to establish, specify a resident, someone who's been here a year or 2 years or consistent with that bill, that's fine with me. This is not a residency bill, this is an ADA financing bill. And ADA financing continues with or without legislation changing the residency laws. So I would, if language is necessary to bridge an interim gap over the next few years until residency is established and challenged in the courts, because whatever bill you come up with is going to be challenged, it will probably be 3 or 4 years before the issue is resolved, and the state government, meanwhile, is going to be moving on through many hundreds of thousands of bills and regulations and policies, and about all one can do is proceed. And the resident of the state, however defined, if you wish to add a specific definition, that's fine with me, because it is not a residency bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. President Linda, in this, just for my clarification, your intent is that these loans are going to specifically Alaskan companies, as opposed to your loans going to any company that's financing something in Alaska.
That's correct.
So that by doing this, an outside company could not finance their Alaskan job.
That's not necessarily so. They could certainly finance their job if they establish the principal place of business. What I'm trying to eliminate here, Representative Ringstadt, is the use of phantom post boxes in Juneau. I have been told two different numbers. I am told by one number I received, and I can't verify it, is that there are over 600 companies with phantom offices in Juneau so that they can get state preference for bidding and loans. That's not the kind of thing that I think we had in mind when ADA was set up. The idea of having loans and using our funds is to benefit Alaskans, not to provide financing for outside companies. I am reminded of one of, I believe, ADA's experiences in which it financed a large company, allegedly for an Alaskan operation, financed a large company, and it's my understanding with the funds they managed to expand service. They bought airplanes and they now fly to Palm Springs, Portland and San Francisco, and I'm sure the people are very pleased about the additional service that they get in Palm Springs, Portland, and San Francisco. I am not very pleased because, in fact, that money could have been used to finance operations in Alaska. And I think had we had an Alaska-oriented company rule, this wouldn't have happened. And it isn't that particular case is the only case. It is that we have limited funds, we have limited resources, the state's limited resources ought to be used for the benefit of the people of Alaska and for no other people.
Thank you. What would your reaction be in trying to specify rather than where the office is, specify where the money is spent, so that the money has to be spent on a project in Alaska?
Well, many large, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with it because many large companies have minor operations in Alaska. And to the extent they can finance or refinance their Alaskan operations and free up money for use outside, that money will in fact be transferred outside, which I believe is a very apt description of the particular case in hand. I have very real, as long as resources are limited, as long as businesses in Alaska have financing difficulties getting access to capital markets because of our location distant from the money market, I think that we have to give other things equal, have to make preference in this kind of legislation. For ADA, I think that we have to give preference to Alaska.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Windard, as I recall, the testimony that we did have on this previous, if I'm not mistaken, from the Alaska Industrial Development Authority Executive Director, Bert Wagner, basically, I believe the statistics that he showed, there was something like 250 corporations or individuals that had made loans to Alaska Industrial Development Authority, of which five of those were listed as out of state. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with the testimony that he brought to our attention that day was the fact that the even though those were outside corporations, they were holding establishments in Alaska, like restaurants, service station operations, office buildings, and those kind of things, and that the direct benefit was construction, jobs, and so on. And they were putting those buildings up, they were putting that construction up in Alaska itself. What would your response be to when you state there the business enterprise in which the majority interest is owned by residents of the state? Many times there are corporations that come to Alaska that may have stock ownership throughout the United States, but however they are coming to Alaska to invest.
Yep.
So would we in fact be hindering those people?
I don't think so, because remember that a role of a large corporation that is primarily non-Alaskan, located outside, has already established its banking and financial relationships. That organization has a real competitive advantage over an Alaskan corporation or company or individual in the same industry, because the Alaskan here in relatively distant money market has very uncompetitive situation, and to give these people additional competitive benefits at our cost, there's just no need to finance them. To the extent they say they have not been financing, they've been careful exercising some kind of good judgment and not loaning to outsiders, then I certainly commend them for it. Then they shouldn't have any problem with this legislation which says that they can't loan to outsiders, because that will be certainly consistent with their current practices, so this shouldn't distress them at all.
My only point is that the outsiders are coming in and investing in Alaska and creating
an
economy.
We're investing in Alaska. They're taking our money to do it with. We're the ones putting up the money. We're the ones at risk here, not them. It's our money that they're spending here. They are helping us invest in Alaska by spending our money. I think Alaskans can spend our money equally well. Each of these things could have been done by an Alaskan. Construct a warehouse, I'm sure an Alaskan could have done that. Purchase a freight terminal, I think an Alaskan could have done that. Purchase a warehouse, I think an Alaskan could have done that. I doubt that there's anything in here that an Alaskan couldn't have done. And if we have limited financial capacity, why not let an Alaskan do it?
Well, we may want to do that, but in a sense, we don't want to hinder other investors that can come into Alaska.
No, I don't say hinder them. I'm in no way saying stop outsiders who have already set up their financial relationships, who wish to expand up here. That's wonderful. I'm all in favor of it. But I don't think that we should use our scarce resources to finance them. If we're going to use our scarce resources to construct a warehouse, well, let's use that scarce resource of money for an Alaskan to construct the warehouse.
That's a record that looks like the Russian government is
If we have difficulties with the law, with making residency requirements in some of these, would you be content with the final Section C, which would limit the loans to business enterprises maintain their headquarters, executive office, administrative office in the state, et cetera. Would that be the principle?
That is the principle, yes.
So essentially, if A and B were struck, C would be the main intent.
C is the intent.
Do we have any, do you see any problem with dealing with wholly owned subsidiaries of outside corporations?
No, I see a very large problem with that. I think that,
what approach do we make on that?
Well, I think you, I think that, the last sentence, I think, handles that, because in this paragraph, business enterprise includes the parent company of the business enterprise, such that the holding company cannot set up a one-man office, a sham office here, and go out for millions of dollars and get that funding on the basis that somehow it's become an Alaskan corporation. In fact, it is not. I think it's very important to keep the relationship to the holding company.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. I think we certainly agree with the intent of what John is trying to do here, but I question whether this is a way to go about it. It seems kind of irrelevant if a business makes 50% of its revenue within Alaska or not, because sometimes even 10% of a large corporation can mean hundreds of jobs and make a lot of bucks into the state revenue. So, I was wondering if John has any handle on, as a question to the sponsor, how many major producers of jobs and the state revenues in Alaska drive more than 50% of their business revenue from within the state?
I would guess that my ballpark guess is 99.5% of all the businesses in Alaska, fundamentally businesses in Alaska. The office buildings, the commercial buildings tend to be owned by Alaskans. I know there are exceptions, but they tend to be. For every large corporation such as Tesoro, you have a, which is owned by outsiders such as our friends at Charter, we have innumerable dry cleaners and grocery stores, and there are a lot of businesses in the state of Alaska, and almost all of them, I would think, are owned by Alaskans. They're all relatively small, and they're all relatively hard to finance because of the nature of our financial markets. And we're going to come back to this list of things. If you construct warehouses, it's the big outside company that already has access to financing. We don't need to worry about them. It's the local citizen who wants to construct a warehouse that has the trouble getting the financing. And if we're going to put up money for a warehouse, then let's let an Alaskan have first shot at it.
Yes, maybe to share. Have we obtained an AG's opinion on the Constitution?
We'll have some comments, and I'll share those opinions. That's all. Let me go ahead and share some comments. I did ask staff to do some work, and we did speak with AFSCA. And he said, even with the narrow scope of the review, Ms. AFSCA could conclude only that a case can be made that the residence requirement is contained in the signal of this legislation is constitutional. Let me also share here, Alaska Chapter 4488.010, Section B states, and this is having to do with the AF, it is declared to be the policy of the state in the interest of promoting the health, security, and general welfare of all the people of the state, and a public purpose to increase job opportunities, and otherwise to encourage the economic growth of the state, including the development of its natural resources, through the establishment and expansion of manufacturing, industry, and business enterprise, and other facilities referred to in another section. It appears here that since the purpose of aid is to encourage the development of the economy, not to see, as opposed to see who may get the profit of a particular enterprise, this particular bill may have a chilling or a detrimental effect upon the ability of otherwise eligible business to invest in the Alaskan marketplace and to create jobs, etc. As the gentleman well realized here, because of the Alaska limited base, we depend very heavily upon outside concerns coming in and participating in the economic growth of the state. And decision that this committee must make is, does this particular bill tend to disqualify or discourage those companies coming in? It also raises the question of how to treat franchises and national corporations when they continue. The question of interstate commerce certainly needs to be addressed. The purpose of ADA is to develop the economy, which seems contradictory to prevent qualified firms from participating based upon the location of a home office or where they were incorporated. The idea of giving an Alaska-based firm a competitive advantage in industry and gave interstate commerce or not, has not been found favorable to the, not only in the course, but to the overall development of the state. Again, if we indeed look at the intent, the purpose of setting up ADA, it was to encourage the development of the state above and beyond our own ability. I recognize the sponsor's concern here that in some cases some of those dollars may be going out. We've looked at some sporadic, what I call five instances out of 200 and some odd. That's the question I think this committee.
I'd like to address that, Mr. Chairman, because I think your interpretation, the purpose of ADA was to promote the development of the state in order to promote the prosperity of the people of Alaska. The people of Alaska are the ultimate intended beneficiaries of that bill, and it is the people of Alaska that we want to benefit. The means of doing it is to encourage industrial and other related development so that we can have higher wages and prosperity for the people of Alaska. The idea that we are dependent on others, I just totally disagree with, and I think the fact that there are only five loans that they say have been made to outsiders supports the idea that fundamentally our economic growth in this state is internally generated. It is not externally generated. We do not depend upon outsiders to come in here. They may, but we do not rely on them for our prosperity. That may have been the case once, but I don't believe it's the case now. I don't think the ADA experience shows it's the case. And with so long as we have limited revenues, and when our revenues are becoming more and more limited, I believe that if we're going to spend our money, and it is not outsiders investing, when they use our money, we are investing, and they are channeling the funds into Alaska, and we can do that ourselves.
So let me read a section here. This is again 44-88-10. That it is the purpose, and this is part of the legislation of the statute. It is in the public interest to promote the prosperity and joint wealth of all citizens of the state by stimulating commercial and industrial growth and expansion, by encouraging an increase of private investment by banks, investment houses, insurance companies, and other financial institutions, including pensions and retirement funds, to help satisfy the needs of economic expansion. It is in the state interest to enforce private capital to create new economic activities for them which otherwise take place in the state. It appears very clear to us that the framers of the ADA intended, in order to encourage economic growth in the state, that there'd be a great deal of flexibility. Let me recognize two representatives here. Mr. Greenstad and then
Mr. Chairman. Your thoughts there is something along the line of what I was addressing a question earlier. And my concern is not necessarily who receives the money, but where the money is spent. If a firm from California is interested in establishing and doing business in Alaska, that's what we're, that's fine. I think that is good for our economy. I think that for ADA to provide them part of the money, we're still not funding necessarily all of it. They are going to bring some of their expertise and some of their private capital into Alaska and establish that business. I think what we have to be very careful of is to make sure that money is spent here and not back down to California or wherever that company might come from. And that's why I was opposing the thought of requiring and being sure that the money is spent here, not necessarily who it is
that's
spending it.
Can you recognize President Copeland?
Thank you. I do not believe that ADA is intended to supplant private capital or to, for that matter, to compete in the private capital market, but was intended to serve as a supplement to the development of, I remember much of the discussion that preceded it. And I would think that it would be perfectly within these purposes to limit ADA in the degree of, shall we say, competition in the general market, in the general capital market, by supporting a small segment of that market to fight to those business
enterprises that are created in Alaska. Because one of the things that this would do, of course, is to develop a local administrative entrepreneurial group, rather than having to, I don't think it was intended to subsidize the importation of entrepreneurial talent from outside of Alaska, but it was intended to provide some support for the creation of an entrepreneurial segment of our business community in Alaska. And I think this might be better done through limiting the loans to the section, business enterprises, section C, created in Alaska. I notice, again, the list that we have, that by and large they have done that. There are, as has been pointed out, only 5 loans unto others. In other words, what we would be doing is lending statutory authority to the goal that ADA largely sees for itself at present.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment back on both of your comments. You referred to the banks and insurance companies and others, and I would remind you that that the purpose of ADA was to sell its bonds to bring funding in so that that funding would be available for the private sector to develop. I'm recognizing that the purpose of ADA, its basic purpose, as you correctly described, was to accumulate monies that could be used for the promotion of prosperity of Alaska. I noticed that this list, I think it's incomplete. I don't see Alaska Airlines here. For example, Alaska Airlines of Seattle is not on this list. My understanding that we helped finance their expansion to the lower 48 out of south of Seattle, I'm sure that was good luck for them.
Good wrap up for that.
Yeah. Well, I guess my point is that this money is Alaska's money, using Alaska's credit in order to go to the benefit of Alaska.
What is the pleasure of the committee concerning this piece of legislation that's in the range there?
I might suggest, going back to my point, I obviously don't have the answer at this point, is to try and find out, what actually are we requiring for where the money be spent. Is it now possible for a company to spend their money outside that they're getting from here? And if that is the case, maybe we should address that situation more specifically, rather than who's there, and maybe get some more information as to what needs to be done in that area.
I believe the review of the statute would somewhat answer those questions for you. You do have a copy here if you'd like to read that.
Yeah, well, of course, I need to do some more work on that.
Maybe they'll come in. Let me conclude with it.
Only the point that I think that when a loan is made, let's say it's an outside corporation or franchise or some stuff that's coming into Alaska, there's no way that you can control the fact when they get the loan, they build a facility, they loan the money, and if they've got several facilities and they have one in Alaska and they have one in Seattle and several different facilities around, there's no way you can limit the amount of cash flow spending that they're going to do on it. The idea was, as you mentioned in the statute, was to create interest and investment in Alaska. You can only go that far and say, this is what we're going to provide, and then stimulate this kind of
Again, gentlemen, what is the pleasure of the committee concerning this legislation?
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest or request that we hold off on this and see if we can do some more in that direction. Because the statute is there, and I personally feel, but I need to do a little more research in that area.
I'm just in COVID-19.
My personal feeling is that which was moved to amend by striking sections A and B, which raised the problem of residency, and moved out the bill, basically section C. Affirmative.
Is that in the form of a motion or affirmative?
That is a motion, yes.
Do you have a motion before that to then arrange that?
I disagree with your motion. I don't feel that A and B is necessarily a residency problem. Because our problem with residency has been how we define it, and we're not defining it there. Representative Lindau has stated that it's not his intent to define residency. We'll take the definition that is adequate and legal. I don't see that as a problem. The question I posed earlier is my concern, and that deals more with C. So on that basis, I will oppose the motion.
But we do have a motion on there from before. There's an additional discussion. All in favor of the motion to amend the legislation passed in committee, which is both carried by show of hands. All opposed by show of hands. The motion does fail. In view of that, what I would do is I want to find this to a subcommittee of this committee. I would request that you bring your recommendations back to this committee. Bring it back to this committee by the 13th. That committee will consist of Representative Winstead, Calgary, and Representative Coconut. Next piece of legislation.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment? The question of where the money is spent, whether it should or should not be spent in Alaska, really is a separate question for who should receive the money. If it is appropriate that there be a bill that says it be spent in Alaska, certainly that should come forward a committee bill or an individual should introduce that bill. But that's an apple and this is an orange, and the idea of letting Alaskans get the first preference of the money as you give a bidder's preference is a very different thing than where that money ought to be spent.
Let's move forward so that we have enough people that are listening to us to handle. House Bill 111, an appellate investment and deposit of public money for foreign banks. Representative Lindau, you do have a floor to bring up.
I think we've been over this bill before also. House Bill 111 is a description dated March 1st in here from a month or so ago. It lasted for you. Most of the state's public money, other than the permanent fund, this is the state's general fund money, float that it has, is outside of the state. This bill would merely give Alaskan banks equal access to this money by saying that they can, in effect, use the offering and take a portion of it. A national bank in Alaska with FDIC insurance is as good as a bank outside. Outside is, as you know, isolated from the great mass of banking houses of Alaska and so on, and the royal and patron territory from the outside of the people who are here. The world has changed, the patriots have the map, and it's merely just the moral ground of the reality of Alaska today. And we have done that with 10% of Seattle banks for California banks.
Question for me. We did do some checking in motion before and here. Just one from the Department of Revenue verified by the banking industry indicated that
It's the current practice of the Department of Revenue to do this. No financial institution, to our knowledge, share that there have been no fraud, have been a wind fraud, nor has anyone come forward tested on the system to show that there is a trend. But this is not the current practice. There has been no indication nor testimony that the Department of Revenue has any chance to change this practice. The big question is, from what we can attend, that this does not appear to be a concern within the industry, that they are getting ample opportunities to do it. You can sit on all this stuff, but I'll tell you what, Alaska is more important than California, which is our money in the same way. There is no reason in the world why we should not give the thanks of Alaska equal opportunity. This doesn't force the money on them. This in no way constrains anybody from doing anything. But this really says that today, tomorrow, and forever, Alaska banks are to have an equal shot at our money. What's wrong with letting Alaska's banks have an equal shot? This isn't giving them any preference. It doesn't say they're going to get one penny less of their proposal. It just merely says they will get an equal shot on it. What's wrong with that? Suddenly, the fact is that we do have the rest of banking, the tax expenses. What is the benefit of the table and the help that we find to give us a briefing as to who we are and what the responsibilities are as we work with?
Speaks to this bill or not. If they had an opportunity to do that, they'd probably do it anyway.
A recent analysis that I received, I'm not sure if it's from your office or what, it did show that the bank's loan-to-deposit ratio has fallen from an average of 60% of deposits into loans to somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50%, and that the loans to other investments, those other investments being outside of the state investments, had increased substantially over the past 5 years. So it appears, I think you are correct, that they are quite liquid and that they are indeed enjoying as much of any deposit they want right now, to the point of being very arrogant about it.
Not necessarily in their defense, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that's occurring nationwide is that with these money market accounts, they're paying a tremendous price for those deposits. And they really can't pass those out as loans. The market just won't bear it, it's hot, what we call hot money, in that it'll move to the next institution with the next highest rate. And so that the only thing that they can really do with those funds with any degree of safety and soundness is investing in money markets outside the state.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions for Mr. Kirkpatrick? What is the pleasure of the committee concerning this legislation within the range there?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see a real need for the legislation. As I stated before, and it's further comment, with my limited banking experience, I work with one of the larger banks in the state's investment department on a daily basis, and I also, on a daily basis, handle the transfers of state funds to the miscellaneous banks within the state and throughout the nation. And I don't see where there's a real need for it. I don't feel that we have a problem.
Is there
I would move that we table it at this time.
So a motion before the committee. What is the pleasure? All in favor of the motion signify by raising hand. All opposed? We will table legislation at this time. The next bill to be heard is HB 22. I propose to open testimony on this particular, 25. We have about 5 minutes. I propose to open testimony
on this, and we will continue this within the schedule of the calendar. HB 25 is an act providing for preference and reservation and sell or purchase of state laws or all of the companies purchasing state coal. Again, the sponsor of this legislation is Representative Lindau. Representative Lindau.
Well, once again, this is a bill that the chairman designed to benefit the land, but it probably seems to be of little interest to the committee.
What's that, sir?
This bill would require Mr. Natural Resources to give preference to the sale of crude oil or oil products in two parts. Those who would buy coal for the purpose of developing our coal industry. That's what it does.
Okay.
Now, and once again, its purpose is to benefit the Alaskan economy.
Perhaps a little bit more detail on that, Representative. I don't. I've read it, but I don't fully follow the flow.
At present time, most large users of coal are large industrial companies and public utilities. Japanese and Korean electric companies are potential users of Alaskan coal. Large cement and industrial concerns a major buyer of Alaskan coal would tend to be a major user.
There may well be a time when we can in fact leverage the sale of coal by selling oil. That has been the case in the past, and I'm sure with the ebb and flow of commerce it will be the case in the future, where some large company will think that, well, if we could tie up some oil, we could go ahead and get the coal.
So let me ask a question, if I may. Line 12, it says, shall first offer the sale of state crude oil to companies purchasing state coal. So if a company is purchasing, if a company wished to purchase oil, crude oil from the state of Alaska, it appears that they have at least an opportunity, or at least we request that they give some consideration to also buying coal from the state. Is that
fair interpretation? It's more than that, and maybe there's a minor amendment that would be appropriate. That if we have various competing bids by the state's oil, which we have certainly had in the past, royalty oil, state crude oil, that preference be given, other things equal, to those who will also agree to buy additional coal. And I regret that I did not put in here the words simultaneously buy additional coal. And preference wouldn't, my purpose is not to give preference to those who are already buying coal, but to increase the likelihood that we can sell coal, because by buying coal you can also get access to oil. For example, I know of at least one case in 1978 in which a contract was signed that would have been related to Section G there, which had to do with the purchase of refined products. In this particular case, with residual oil out of Chevron and Tesoro, which the state has reserved to itself. Had this law been in effect, we would have a coal market going in
Alaska today. We are out 200 or 300 jobs that I personally know of because this bill was not in effect in 1978. I'm sure that in the ever flow of time, this will come again.
Let me address a question from Representative Ringston. I think we probably should conclude it with that.
Just a thought at this point. Paragraph F stating that we shall offer, give first right of refusal effectively, or first offer to, of people buying oil to the people who bought coal. I think generally accepted our coal market in the near future is going to be Pacific Rim countries. And I think right now we've got an immediate problem. If we're going to be selling coal to Pacific Rim countries to try and offer them our oil until such time as we get the export ban lifted, which hopefully we will be doing soon, and then we will, this would be more of a possibility. I think until we get that ban lifted, I think we're going to problem. Apparently we got some good news on that yesterday, that we're working in the direction of getting that lifted soon.
That was a brief question from Mr.
Yes, Kirby. I just, you know, we're talking about royalty oil here, and I was wondering, and I talked to John about this coke and other means of doing this earlier, but I was wondering, can we... We don't have royalty coal, you know, and can we control, how can we, the state, does the state actually have, currently have available,
If I might speak to that, one, we do have royalty coal, so to speak. The state has coal lands which have not been leased, or has lands which had leased out under the Hammond administration at extremely nominal rates for the purpose of keeping it out of production. So there is coal, and it does not have to go overseas to the export bank. The company I am referring to that I know was ready to buy was an American refiner who was willing to agree to buy coal if they could get the residual oil that the state has the right to buy under the contracts that then existed from Tesoro. Had there been, and they didn't prefer that, they would have preferred to have crude oil, but they were willing to settle for the residual oil. And in 78, the Hammond administration agreed to that verbally when these people actually were going to proceed and place an order with Joe Civelli. The Hammond administration pulled out to prevent the development of the coal industry and the additional jobs.
I'm sorry to conclude the meeting, but I think we best make it to the floor in order to make a roll call. This is a serious piece of legislation. I would encourage you to
change it a bit.
Yeah, to do your homework, and I will set this for hearing. I'll advise you of the day. Okay. If no objection, we'll return at this time.